I would say that my drive is actually the next generation of Limb Different kids. Mm-hmm. I want to show them that there is nothing that they can't do. I know when I was growing up, there was a lot of people who would say that I can't do something specific because I have one hand, and it ultimately it was them making the decision for me, which is not my vibe. Growing up, that always made me the angriest is when someone told me I couldn't do something.
Hey, everyone, I'm Van Tucker, and welcome to episode number 6 of the Socket Podcast. The Socket Podcast is a podcast that features conversations with the global amputee community. Today, we have Ashley Young with us. She is an inspiration to everyone in the world, and she only has one speed, and that is go. She's super driven. I mean, on this podcast, we're going to really learn that she tries to be a professional on anything she does. And when I said try, I mean she is and becomes a professional with anything she does. That started at a young age when she was a champion horse rider, then a professional dancer, then an on-stage performer, and then she even became a professional scuba diver. Today, she's now a mom and a model and actress. So without further ado, let's dive in with Ashley and really learn her story. So hi, Ashley. Welcome to The Socket. I'm super excited to have you join us today. You know, so how are you doing today over in London?
Yeah, not too bad. Thank you. I have just spent the day hanging out with my daughter, and I took her to the park to go on a trampoline for the first time. So that was quite fun. She really loved it.
Awesome.
So how are you?
I'm doing good. It's actually, today is my birthday. So this is a special episode. So it's actually 8:30 almost here in the United States where I'm at. And, you know, I got my birthday adventure shirt on. So this is a fun episode to be part of. You know, it's kicking off my birthday and talking to you. So actually one of my first conversations for the whole day. So it's awesome to get started that way.
Happy birthday. That's so exciting.
Well, thank you. So, you know, you have a pretty diverse background. You know, before we started recording here, you're talking about all the different things you do, and I was like super impressed. You know, you've done a lot of things that, you know, you're a really big inspiration to even me, you know, all the things you've been doing. So be kind of cool, kind of tell us your story, you know, what you've kind of gone through and what you experienced, because I feel that's a really big inspiration to having what you've been able to do so far throughout your life.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm actually a congenital amputee. So I was born missing the lower half of my right arm. And I was born in Michigan, but I moved to Florida when I was 3 years old. And I grew up with my twin sister, Autumn, and we grew up on a farm. So my whole life, we basically had to take care of like a range of 12 to 15 horses. From the time we could walk, my mom made us clean stalls straight away. So I was never shy to hard work, and my parents never raised me to be any different from my sister. So I was always trying to stay on her level with everything. So with the horse farm growing up, my mom is a horse trainer, and she started us in competitions very early in life. And that kind of drove me to do things to be 110%, because people always told me, like, you're really, really great at doing this for a person with one hand. And that was the opposite of what I wanted to be known for. I kind of was like, well, why can't I be really great at things anyway, and despite being a person with one hand? So I always wanted to do things, but kind of do it 110% better than everything else. And obviously that takes a lot of hard work and practice. So I started with horseback riding, just practicing and riding and dedicating my entire life every day for competitions. And in the end, it was really amazing and kind of paid off, because I had this really, well, I still have him. He's still in Florida right now. And his name is Lujan, and he's kind of my number one partner in my competition years. And we actually made it to the world show for quarter horse and did pretty well. And just continued to show. And we grew up in this community of young horseback riders and people, and it was really great to be able to kind of grow up in that environment. And yeah, from there, I also did dance as well. So dance was another thing. It was actually one of the many things that kind of broke me out of my shell. And I was really, really shy, especially in middle school. I walked around in the Florida heat with long sleeves and just tried to stay as low key as possible. And then when I joined dance team, that was almost impossible to do because every move that you made had to be the same as your teammates. And so I had to just kind of like show my arm. Yep. once I was on dance team, and I started actually competing on dance team as well. And yeah, just, I feel like that really broke me out of my shell of being shy, because I just couldn't, I wasn't allowed to be shy anymore, if that makes sense. So I started dance, and I kind of quit dancing professionally in 2013 and moved on to acting. And so I started acting at Universal Studios for their Halloween Horror Nights seasonal event. And I ended up doing that for 7 years, all the way up until 2018. And what was really great about that was I was exposed to so many people on a daily basis, and everyone saw my arm, and everyone kind of saw me for who I was. And Universal was so cool because they painted my arm as a walker for The Walking Dead for 5 years. So I was like that cool one-armed walker that everyone was always looking for every time they went through the houses at Halloween Horror Nights. And then I was in the street in 2017 as like a different character, but my arm was still dressed up to look like it was, it had fallen off or was ripped off. And then in 2018, I was a broken ballerina doll for this street that was called Revenge of Chucky. Mm-hmm. And what was really cool about that kind of role at Halloween Horror Nights was that they didn't dress up my arm. And so having one arm was just part of my character. And I thought that was pretty, pretty amazing. I was quite emotional about that one. And then from there, I started scuba diving professionally in 2015, I believe. And I was a underwater performer at Sea Life Orlando, just kind of giving educational talks to kids on the other side of the glass while I was in the water with sharks and sea turtles and stingrays and just a bunch of really, really cool fish that I miss every day. And then from there, I met my husband, and we actually met through one of our close friends who is also in the amputee community, because my husband's an amputee as well. And he's from London, so we got married in 2018, and I moved here in 2019. And from there, once I moved to London, I started modeling and acting more. And that's kind of the rundown of my life. I'm an ambassador for Lucky Finn Project, and also for Osir as well, which is the island that I have.
That is incredible. It looks like you kind of have like one speed. Like you don't do anything like halfway. Like it sounds like you say, hey, I'm going to go do something. So I'm going to become a professional at it. So it's like, hey, I'm going to become I don't just ride horses for hobby. I'm going to become like a competitive horse rider. Then you're like, hey, I want to be a dancer. And next thing you know, it's like, hey, I want to be a competitive professional dancer. Then yeah. It's pretty impressive that you kind of have that mindset. And what's kind of been how do you get inspired to like really say, hey, you know, you said you seem very competitive, it looks, but you didn't, you kind of had confidence, before going to dance. And what kind of drives that competition for you to kind of reach these goals that most likely at first, a lot of people may say they're not possible. So how do you kind of break those barriers and have that right mindset for that?
Absolutely. I would say that my drive is actually the next generation of limb different kids. Mm-hmm. I want to show them that there is nothing that they can't do. I know when I was growing up, there was a lot of people who would say that I can't do something specific because I have one hand, and it ultimately it was them making the decision for me, which is not my vibe. Growing up, that always made me the angriest, is when someone told me I couldn't do something because of my limitation. And it's always the people that don't have that limitation, and they don't know what I can or cannot do, but they feel like they have the choice or the power to make that choice for me. Mm-hmm. And that is not what I'm about. So if I can do something 110%, I can show the next generation of Limb Different kids that there is nothing that's stopping them from doing the exact same thing. So if they want to scuba dive, if they want to ride horses, if they want to dance, you know, or act, I don't know, they can do anything they want, and there's nothing that should stop them.
That's awesome. And how did you kind of, how did you kind of go from, into scuba diving? You know, that's kind of like a different path, and it's a totally different skills and, you know, level of training. So what kind of inspired you to even start scuba diving?
The first time I went scuba diving was in, like, I think I was 16 years old in Tortola. Mm-hmm. My grandfather was, he lived part of his life in Ponce Inlet, Florida, and then the other half in Tortola. And we used to go visit him in Tortola. And my whole family has kind of been in love with the water since day one. And my grandfather was an actual real pirate. which is something that a lot of people don't know. But he was a pirate for a while, and he actually disappeared on my mom for a few years. And my mom went to Tortola to go find him because he had mentioned it before. And yeah, so like, but his thing was, is that he never went in the water. He was always on the water. So he hated swimming, but he loved being on a boat. But his just love for the ocean kind of rubbed off on my sister and I. And we started diving when we were 16 in 2011. And we just did resort dives. So we weren't actually doing it professionally before then. And then once I kind of graduated and was thinking about what career path I wanted to take, I actually really wanted to be a marine mammal trainer for a while. And one of the requirements of that was to have your open water dive card. And so I started with that. And a job position opened up at Sea Life Orlando, which was, they had just built Sea Life Orlando, Madame Tussauds, and the Orlando Eye. Mm-hmm. And I was working down the street at kind of an arcade, as just like a concessions person. Yeah. And I thought that this aquarium was opening up, and it would be really great to just get involved and maybe just kind of get a foot in the door to move further down and get experience for my marine mammal path that I wanted to take. Mm-hmm. And I started out as an educator at Sea Life Orlando, and they had a scuba diving team. And I was like, well, I can definitely be part of the scuba diving team. I don't see why not. And so from there, I already had my open water. So I ended up getting all my other certifications up until rescue diver, which was the requirement. Mm-hmm. Got on the team from there, and I loved it so much that I stayed for 3 years. I never got to my marine mammal training career.
not yet, at least. Maybe.
Yeah, not yet. Yeah. But that'll be maybe next, even though I don't know how much of that I can do in London. But
that's awesome. So, yeah. And, you know, you kind of mentioned before, you know, you're now a mother. So how's that been? You know, you got married a couple of years ago. So mm-hmm. How's your life now been since you became a mom?
Oh, it's been amazing. You feel like you can never love something so much as your child. And that's completely true. I mean, we're just so in love with Alara. And It has changed my life, because before I was just, I wouldn't say I was a wild child, but if I wanted to go do something, then I would just leave and go do it. And now, you know, there's so much consideration that I have to put in for my daughter and just make sure that she's taken care of. And that's, I feel like I've grown up a lot, which is really, has so many, you know, obviously that's amazing. But yeah, and it also kind of, she inspires me to be a better person every day for her future self. You know, so I'm always trying to still continue to do things that I hope that she is proud of in the future. It's definitely a different lifestyle than I had before, but every minute of it, I'm loving it.
That's awesome. Yep, I'm in the same shoes. I have a son that's turning 2 next month. So, you know, it's been crazy how fat he's. Like, holy cow, it's already been 2 years. How did this happen already? It felt like yesterday he was born. He's like, whoa, yeah. That was quick. But, you know, it's pretty cool to wake up every, he now knows how to, he was in a crib and he was able to stay in the crib perfectly fine, sleep all night. We've been very blessed with that. But now since he's been able to climb out of the crib, so we took the wall down. So now he comes and wakes us up every morning at like 5 o'clock in the morning. So that's pretty cool. I have a new alarm clock. I'm not good at waking up super early. I got 5. So today I got to wake up at 5 o'clock because he was at my bed. So it's one of the perks. You get to wake up earlier.
Yeah, that's very true. Very true.
So, you know, what's kind of been, you know, you've said so many experiences, and, you know, what's, I guess, you know, another amputee you've met before that really inspired you?
Oh, I got you. Well, honestly, I would have to say my husband. He's just the happiest, most positive, amazing person that I've ever met, and he's always doing new things and, like, conquering new heights and things that he's doing. We have actually quite opposite stories. He is an acquired amputee from an accident, and I'm a congenital amputee. So, like, our perspective on things is always really different, but I feel like I'm always learning from him every day. And every new place that we go to, I don't know, he's just all about loving life and, like, being the best that he can be and looking into every detail. And yeah, I would say that he definitely inspires me every day with everything that he does.
That's awesome. And I know you're part of, you know, the Lucky Finn Project. So kind of tell me more about that and how and why you got started with it.
The Lucky Finn Project is a nonprofit organization that raises awareness for people with limb differences. And they use Nemo as a mascot because Nemo has a lucky fin or a little fin. And if I'm honest with you, I've seen that movie hundreds and hundreds of times. But I had no idea the kind of correlation between Nemo and myself until I actually heard about the Lucky Finn Project. And it just clicked with me. I was like, oh my gosh, that makes so much sense. And Lucky Finn Project has a team of ambassadors. And when I heard about the organization, I think in 2014 was when I heard about them, I immediately knew that that was what I wanted to do, was to kind of have that platform to speak and talk with parents and kids of people with limb differences. And I kind of reached out to Molly as soon as I heard of the organization. I was like, how do I become an ambassador? And she was like, well, you know, hold on. I don't know who you are. just give you some time. And they have a meetup weekend in Michigan every year in the summer. And I was struggling to go because I was scared. And I had just waited till the very last moment to make, I think it was like 2 weeks before the weekend had happened, to make the decision to actually go. And I went by myself, and I still have family in Michigan, in Detroit. So I was with my brother who is in Detroit, and I kind of hung out with him for a few days before the weekend happened. And I had been roomed with Angel Jafria, and Molly had kind of put us in touch when I said last minute that I wanted to go. Yeah. She was like, well, Angel has an extra bed in her hotel room. She was like, if you guys can get in touch, then, you know, see if you can stay with her. And I was like, okay, great. So I had messaged Angel and we'd never met in person. And I had no clue who she was at first. and the first day of Lucky Finn Project, I was walking up. I checked in at the hotel and I walked up to the elevator and got to the floor. And I was so, so incredibly nervous to meet someone who was exactly like me. Mm. And I just remember like sweating on the way to the room, just walking down the hallway. And I knocked on the door and Angel had answered the door and she had foundation on her little arm. Mm. And it was exactly what I do. And, you know, you feel so alone in life sometimes. And then this is like this crazy defining moment where I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not the only one. And so it was insane. We just immediately clicked. We both worked at Haunted Events. She was from Louisiana, so she worked at 13th Gate there, and I had worked at Halloween Horror Nights. So we immediately kind of bonded over being a scare actor, and then, and then just literally everything else. And the whole weekend, we kind of created this young adult group with myself, Trace Wilson, who's the author of Uniquely Me. He's also another ambassador for Lucky Finn Project. And then we just kind of created this really amazing group of people who were in the same boat. And we would stay up and talk until like 3 o'clock in the morning, just in the hotel lobby, about all of the experiences that we had. And the last day there's a concert and all these kids with, you know, their little Lucky Fins were just dancing and not even worrying about other people and how other people were looking at them, which is what I grew up doing my whole life. And I had to excuse myself and I just started sobbing and I went into the bathroom and all of these Lucky Finn girls came in and they all hugged me in this group hug. And it was just like the most life-changing weekend of my entire life. and then from there, after that, I started connecting with families who had come to Orlando, whose kid had a limb difference. Mm-hmm. And I could get into Universal and I had Disney passes and pretty much I could get into every attraction in Orlando for free, which was nice.
You connected. Because you're the ultimate person, you know, just making opportunities.
yeah. I couldn't get other people in, but I could join families who came there for vacation, and if they needed, you know, their kid to not feel alone, I could always go and hang out and go on some rides at Disney with them. And I did that quite a lot, and that was one of the things that I really, really enjoyed. And like parents would just ask me questions about how I grew up, and it was kind of like a glimpse into their child's future, and they could see, you know, that their kid's gonna be totally fine in the end. Like they're just gonna be amazing, strong, wonderful babies, you know. And then from there, I became an ambassador after that. I think in 2015. It's been a while. Yeah. So yeah, and that's kind of how I got started into all of that.
That's awesome. You know, it's kind of awesome to hear, you know, how you were like, oh man, I'm not sure if I can make it to this event, you know, and how you know, until the last moment to go, then next thing you know, it's like, was like the one of the best weekends of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know what I would have done if I didn't find the courage to go, but yeah, I am so, so happy that I did.
Awesome. So what's kind of like one myth about amputees that you wish to solve?
Oh boy, there's a lot of myths.
The one you feel for, doesn't need to be the most favorite one, just one that you kind of going for.
Yeah, you know, it's just always society is like, that's just how they perceive us, you know. That I feel like a myth would maybe be that we'd wake up and struggle to do things. I know a lot of people have always said to me, you know, like, it's so inspiring that you wake up and you, like, have to put your arm on and you just have to think about all of these extra steps that you have to do in life, like, compared to an able-bodied person. And, like, that's not true. yes, there's a lot of things that we have to do differently, but there's nothing that we can't adapt. And I feel it's really cheesy to say, but, like, adapt and overcome. Yeah. You know, there's not a lot that we can't do. We just have to do it differently, and that's completely okay. So
that's awesome. Kind of do things differently. Do you have any, like, life hacks or some crazy little methods that you've done that you've done, wow, then maybe another person. So how do you think of that creative idea? Do you have any tips or tricks for something that you might have done that, you know, that's kind of like your little secret sauce that we may share with our listeners?
I have to think about that. You know, I actually have, it's quite hard to blow dry your hair and brush it at the same time. And I've actually found this product called Easy Hold, and it's just like this silicone strap that goes on the hair dryer for me. Mm-hmm. And then I can just, like, tuck my little arm in there and use it to hold the hair dryer and brush my hair with the other hand. And that's, like, yeah, I think that's the most helpful thing I've ever had in my whole life. So yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's awesome. And what's that called again, just in case I may try to get included a link in the show notes?
Yeah, it's a Easy Hold, just E-A-Z-Y Hold. I was like, cool. What is it?
That's awesome.
But yeah, those are really, really nice.
And kind of wrapping up here, is there anything, you know, we covered a lot of your experience and things like that. Is there anything you think I should have asked you that I haven't asked yet?
Not necessarily. I do have a bionic arm, if you wanted to ask a little bit about that, but
let's go into it. Kind of show, what's your setup like?
Yeah, well, in America, it actually took me a whole year to get a bionic arm even approved. Mm-hmm. Because I was a congenital amputee, they pretty much decided for me that I didn't need it. It wasn't a necessity. It was like considered like a luxury mm-hmm. item for a person with a limb difference. And for me, that's not okay at all. Like, if someone wants to have access to having another limb, which is what majority of humans have, mm-hmm. I think that it shouldn't be someone else's decision to make. And so insurance denied me, like, straight off the bat. And I had to push for it for months, and we got denied quite a few times. And the last time we got denied, I set up a meeting with kind of the insurance company representatives, and I went in the office and I looked at them. It was like a face-to-face meeting. And I was like, I don't understand how all of you people in this room who have two hands have the ability to tell me that I can't have what you have. It doesn't make sense. It's wrong. I kind of just straight up went in there and yelled at them because it is wrong. You know, it's not a luxury item. It's something that I needed. My shoulder has gone bad. I have really bad wrist problems, and I just needed it. And there shouldn't have been a question as to why. And so the next, like, within 3 days, it was approved. and I got the iLimb Quantum, originally by Touch Bionics, which is now Össur. Mm-hmm. And I've had my arm I got it in 2016, so I've had it for 4 years now. And it's a really great tool for me to have. Mm-hmm. I'm not wearing it all the time, especially now with a baby. She gets really distracted by it, and it's quite hard. And there's no feedback in the hand yet, so I don't know what I'm doing sometimes with it. Yeah. But yeah, I feel like my arm is a really, really cool piece of technology and tool that I have. And not only is it a tool, but I would say that it's a fashion piece for me. I like to make sure that my frame is gold with glitter, because I want it to stand out, and I think that it's such a really interesting piece of technology that I want people to ask me questions and ask how it works and That way we can kind of maybe even spark someone to make something better, or you know, they think, wow, this is a really cool advancement, maybe we can make it even better than that. And yeah, I love my arm, and since then I've kind of been a rep for Osir as well, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, and how, and you know, going throughout your life without it, how's it feel like? What was kind of your experience kind of getting that arm now and not to start incorporating it into your life? Because you know, it sounds like you just got it, you know, not too long ago. So how was that, like, your experience with it?
It was so strange at first. The only experience that I ever had with a prosthetic limb was when I was a kid. I had one that went over my shoulder, and it was like a hook hand, and I hated it, and I just threw it in the toy box and, like, never wanted to wear it again. Mm. It was hot, it was itchy, it was sweaty, and, like, I was already growing up learning how to do stuff with one hand. It was hard enough to do that and then add on another device on top of that. So, yeah, when I first, it, like, and then 21 years later, I ended up getting this arm, and it was really rough at first. My little arm is so, so small past the elbow. It's almost non-existent. And people actually didn't know if I had the ability to be able to use an iLimb or any sort of myoelectric hand. And so I had to kind of train up the muscles in my little arm that I didn't know that I had. And yeah, it was really rough. It was more exhausting than people might think, training muscles that kind of don't exist. My little arm would get so tired, and it was almost like my little arm was contracting, like contracting, and there was no way for me to relax it, which was just, it was painful, it was hard. The first socket that we made was so tight because they were trying to get it to hang on to my little arm. It was uncomfortable, and I cried because I wanted it to work so bad that I didn't want to say that it wasn't working, if that makes sense. Like, I just was like, I'll make it work. But it was so tight and uncomfortable that I ended up crying. I just broke down. And actually Angel Jafria, I was messaging her kind of during this whole process, and she was really there for me the whole time. She told me, like, you absolutely need to tell them what's wrong with it. You know, you want to be able to wear it every day. Get it done. And so we ended up redoing my socket, and we had a really, really nice fit where it stayed on, and it actually gripped up here instead of down here, way above my elbow. And I don't have much bend in that elbow when I'm wearing it, but it's kind of, you know, it can either stay on my arm or I can bend my elbow, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was hard. And at first it was such a weird thing emotionally for me as well, because I always kind of grew up with the attitude of, you know, I don't need another hand to do anything. I can do anything with one hand. And then when I got it, it was like, almost like, am I a hypocrite for, yeah, you know, for getting this arm? Am I giving up on myself and my abilities? You know, but in the end, I kind of came to the conclusion that it was a tool, and it was not me giving up who I am as a person. It's just something that I believe that I should have and have access to. And especially with all the overuse of my left side, it was completely worth it. So it was a physical and emotional toll, but in the end, now when I wear it during the day, or outside or to the shop, it's kind of just like a piece of me and a continuation of my arm. And I don't really think about it anymore once it's on me. Like, people will stare at me for having one arm when I'm not wearing it, and people will still be staring at me when I have it on, because it's glittering gold. So
shiny. It's a standout for sure.
Yeah, exactly. So not much different, but yeah.
That's awesome. So how can the audience that are listening kind of connect with you and kind of stay engaged what you've been doing?
Yeah, absolutely. I post mostly on my Instagram. So it's Orlando Cyborg Ashley on Instagram. I'm also on Twitter as Orlando Cyborg AS. And then I make TikToks here and there.
on TikTok, that's fun.
Yeah, with the same username, Orlando Cyborg Ashley. And then on Facebook, I am still Ashley Mae Sherman, but I'm now Ashley Young because I'm married.
Awesome, Ashley. Well, Ashley, thanks for having you on the Sock. It's been awesome to really hear your story. You like are goal setting, professional dancer, professional horseback rider, or at least competitive, and then scuba diver, actor, model. You know, thanks, Ashley. You know, that's it for the podcast. Thanks to all the listeners, and we will look forward to our next episode.